This podcast is brought to you by fin24.com.
Welcome to Unzipped, fin24.com's technology podcast. In the show this week, we take a look at Wi-Fi internet access. We'll be chatting to Craig Stewart at Internet Solutions about the use of Wi-Fi in South Africa and what it costs. His companies just this week slashed their prices for that form of connectivity. We'll also take a look at Sony's new compact A33 camera, quite a remarkable little device, and we'll be chatting to Svetlana Donova about that in our weekly gadget chat. But first, it's all about Wi-Fi. Internet Solutions has almost 1,000 hot spots throughout South Africa, as well as roaming agreements internationally so that you can connect using their Wi-Fi services from just about anywhere. It has traditionally been an expensive form of connectivity, but IS this week slashed their prices. To find out more, we'll be chatting to Craig Stewart. All right, Craig, so I've been an IS Wi-Fi customer for a while, and I've been pretty impressed at the fact that the service is available just about anywhere in the country. I've tried it, all the shopping malls, most of the restaurants, hotels, and certainly all of the airports. The one complaint I've had as a customer is that prices for IS's Wi-Fi have been quite high, but, Wi-Fi in general has been quite pricey. You're sort of looking at 3G-like prices for getting connected, but that's changing. Tell us about the announcement this week.
Yeah, well, we're obviously very excited about it. Essentially, what we've decided to do is drop the Wi-Fi rate. As you said, across the board, you're looking at about 35 cents on average to connect over Wi-Fi throughout the country. And we've decided to drop our rates specifically on our sort of 1 gig bundles and over down to about 18 cents on the 1 gig bundles. And then on the 3 gig side, down to about 8 cents a meg, which is pretty drastic.
Fantastic. Now that puts you, I assume, quite far ahead of the competition in terms of Wi-Fi providers in South Africa. Is this the beginning of sort of further price reductions that we can expect in the future? Is Wi-Fi connectivity going to continue to get cheaper, do you think? And are you expecting the competition in South Africa to retaliate?
I think that Wi-Fi pricing has to come down. The reality is that Wi-Fi, especially in the hospitality industry, has been mainly targeted at your international travelers. Not a lot of consideration has been given to local South African users. So I think definitely if Wi-Fi providers in the country want to remain relevant, they've got to try and encourage South African users to use Wi-Fi as much as possible. A lot of people have got 3G, and 3G is easy. You just plug in your dongle and off you go. You've got your contract, and that's why Wi-Fi providers have to become more relevant and make accessing Wi-Fi a lot easier for South African users in particular.
Mm. You spoke about Wi-Fi being used by travelers in South Africa, but in terms of actual South Africans using the service, do you find that it's a very niche market, and is that what the pricing is supposed to change? And perhaps you could give us some idea of how many Wi-Fi users there are in South Africa.
Yeah, sure. So essentially, we see on average about 180,000 users on our network on a monthly basis, which at the moment is pretty good. But the majority of that is international travelers and people arriving in the country, staying at their hotel, either getting it free or purchasing it because they don't have another option. Wi-Fi usage definitely amongst South African users is quite niche, and that's what we want to change. I mean, if you look at the benefits of Wi-Fi, with no contract and ease of access and performance, South Africans really should be using Wi-Fi a lot more.
All right, so now it's time for our weekly gadget chat with Svetlana Donova, the multimedia editor at fin24.com. Hi, Svetlana.
Hi, Simon. How are you?
Good and you?
I'm fine. Now, don't tell me you have another external hard drive for me today.
No, we're not talking about external hard drives this week. I, in fact, have a camera that we're going to be reviewing, and it's a brand new sort of hybrid from Sony called the Alpha 33.
Okay, so hybrid between two things?
So this is essentially a serious camera that takes serious lenses, but it's not a single lens reflex camera. It's not a DSLR, so you can't compare it to a sort of your Nikons and your Canons in the on the upper end. But it's designed to take pictures as good as they do with features similar to your DSLRs. But it is essentially a compact camera.
Okay, so what kind of a price range are we talking about, and how does it compare?
Prices start at about 5,000 Rand, and then it goes up from there depending on the lens combination that you're looking at. There's also the Alpha 55, which is a slightly more competent camera than this. I've been playing with the Alpha 33. What I like about it is that it has a very small physical size. I also like the fold-out screen, so if you're using live view, you can sort of, you know, lift it up and get it at various angles and still be able to view the screen. It's got a lot of the settings, sort of manual mode, the ability to control shutter speed, and the sort of things that you will find on a serious DSLR. The only thing I really hate about it is the viewfinder. So if you kind of, you know, get your eye up to the eyepiece, it automatically switches away from the screen on the back of the camera and to the eyepiece. But you're not looking through the lens of the camera as you would be with an SLR. You're actually looking into a tiny monitor. Now, a lot of people have defended Sony for this move, and they say that the monitor is very good. In fact, it's the best on the market, and that may well be the case. But as somebody who's used to shooting with an SLR, I just hate the experience of shooting looking at this eyepiece, which is essentially a tiny LCD monitor. It's terrible in low-light situations. But I think most people who buy this camera won't even look through the eyepiece. They'll mostly be shooting the way that they're used to shooting with their pocket cameras, and that is by, you know, looking at the screen on the back of the camera. So if you're going to shoot that way, it's fine. So like I said, I really hated the experience of shooting with this camera, but the shots it produces are phenomenally good for what it is. So if you're looking for a good camera, but you don't want to go the whole hog with an SLR, then you might want to consider these new alpha cameras from Sony, because you do get a hell of a lot of bang for your buck.
Okay, now I also read that this alpha camera also allows you to shoot video with continuous autofocus. Does that make a big difference?
Yes, that's one of the breakthroughs in this camera. It shoots phenomenal high-definition video with continuous autofocus. Now, the problem with the SLRs that shoot video is that you, for the most part, it'll either do a one-time focus and then continue shooting, and if you adjust your zoom, for example, you'll have to, as they say, pull focus. So you'll have to refocus manually. It doesn't automatically focus. Whereas with this camera, you have the advantages of shooting through some really good wide lenses, but still having autofocus and other more advanced video features that you'd expect to find on a compact camera. So it does shoot very good video while also being a very competent still photographic camera.
Okay, well, with Christmas coming up, it sounds like it would make a really, really nice gift for the photography-loving man or woman in your life.
I think it's a good camera to use around the house, for example, taking pictures and videos of the kids. For somebody who wants slightly more advanced controls on their camera but doesn't necessarily want everything that an SLR gives them, and also the physical size and weight of this makes it more portable than your bigger SLR cameras.
Okay, well, thanks, Simon.
Fantastic. Thanks, Svetlana. And that's it for our Gadget Check this week with Svetlana Donova, the multimedia editor of fin24.com. It also brings us to the end of this week's episode of Unzipped. Thanks for listening. I'm Simon Dingle for fin24.com.